Welcome to The Bridge, your health, your voice, the official podcast for the University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Pharmacy Patients Program. The Patients Program is the bridge between the community and researchers. The Patients Program created this partnership to help researchers listen to the community's voice in order to build a bridge to an effective learning healthcare community. Here's your host, Rodney Elliott.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Rodney Elliott, Community Engagement Specialist, and you're on The Bridge. I'm talking to the Executive Director of the Patients Program, Dr. Mullins. And a lot has been going on over here at the Patients Program to our listeners. And we want to kind of catch you up on what we're doing now and where we're going. Some of you may have heard that the Patients Program is going national. Dr. Mullins, this is a project that you proud about, you're happy about, you're excited about. We've been in different meetings. The energy around going national is very, very exciting. But I want to take this time out now to give you an opportunity to explain what going national means to not only folks who are familiar with the Patients Program, but to some who aren't as familiar about the Patients Program.
Well, thanks, Rodney. I think it's rather appropriate that we're doing this on the Bridge podcast. You and I have joked many times over the years that we've bridged between East Baltimore and West Baltimore. I know you were born in East Baltimore. Now you work with us on the West Side, and we work with colleagues across town at Hopkins and at Morgan on the east side of town. So I figure if we can bridge from West Baltimore to East Baltimore, that we should be able to bridge from Baltimore to the national level. And this is really an initiative where we're taking what we know has worked in health equity research here in Baltimore and spreading it so that other communities, whether those are geographic communities or communities of patients, can really benefit from what we've learned with our community partners right here in Baltimore.
We've lived in this space for a long time, and we've had experience when it comes to doing this type of work, and taking it from a Baltimore level to a national level is something that we're very, very confident about. But I wanted you to share about some of the benefits of what this could be for these new communities. And again, you mentioned when we're talking about communities, yes, it could be geographical, but there could be other communities where patients are involved. So talk to us a little bit about some of the benefits of going national for some of these new communities.
Well, to me, Rodney, it's kind of like that family recipe, right? You know, and some of the individuals maybe don't want to share their recipe. But I've always felt if you've got a good recipe, you should share it with other people, right? And so I know for myself, I learned a lot from my mom growing up about her recipes. I know that you and I have spoken about both of our mothers. We share that in common, too. Yep. Both of our moms died of cancer, but both of them taught us a lot. And I think when you've got a special recipe, whether that's a recipe for doing research or a recipe for food, that it makes sense to share it so that other people can enjoy that and other people can benefit from it. And especially when it comes to research, we've shown here in Baltimore that people are willing to be in research. And I think a lot of people hear things about Baltimore and assume that people in our neighborhoods don't want to be in research. And that's just not true. What they don't want to be in is involved in helicopter research, as you call it. But if you do research the right way and they understand that it could benefit them or a family member or somebody in their neighborhood, people are willing to participate. And it's always voluntary. So if we've been able to work with a community that has this reputation that they don't want to participate in research, but once they do, they see how it can benefit their lives, well, why wouldn't we want to share that with other communities so that those other communities could grow in their health, just like we're trying to improve health here in Baltimore?
It's a very good point. And I like the idea of the recipe, Dr. Mullins. Just yesterday, myself and a couple of other staff members, we participated in a meeting on campus to discuss community engagement. And we were amongst other community leaders here on campus. And there were a lot of synergies when we talked about connecting with the community and being authentic. I like the idea of a recipe because what we were doing there yesterday was sharing different ideas, sharing different strategies, sharing philosophies, but it was a common goal. We're trying to make folks healthier, trying to make folks have a educated seat at the table, and we're trying to improve health research. Patients Program has been a champion in that space for a long time, we've had some experience working with a lot of these agencies around here that have called on you, called on the Patients Program for assistance. How has working with organizations such as PCORI, FDA, NIH, just let folks know, NIH and FDA are still here in Maryland. So when we talk about going national, yes, we are going national, but our home base is still our home base. Talk to us a little bit about that experience working with those organizations and how that's given us the confidence that we know that we can address this going national initiative in a positive way.
Well, first, I would say that, you know, whenever we have these conversations, I think about things you say, and it makes me think differently. So first, you're right. FDA and NIH are here in the state of Maryland. Now, I don't think most people would say those are state agencies. I think they would say those are national agencies.
Correct.
Right? And so when we said that the patients program is going national, what we mean is that we're trying to have national impact on improving the health of all Americans. And so our geographic location and our commitment to Baltimore is a local geography and a local commitment. But that doesn't mean that we can't have a national impact. When you talk about some of the work that we've done, years ago, I remember we had a grant from the Food and Drug Administration, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. And we learned a lot about communication preferences.
Okay.
For the products that the Food and Drug Administration regulates. But our learnings were potentially just applicable to people here in Baltimore. And we had, at the time, deliberately oversampled African-Americans because we wanted to understand what African-Americans' preferences for communications might be. And when we shared those results with the FDA in a very collaborative manner in which they gave us suggestions for how we could change, how we were focusing on our research and gave us ideas for additional questions we could ask, the Food and Drug Administration came back and said, we want to make sure that these really enlightening experiences don't just apply to one racial group or to one geographic area. And so they gave us a supplement to that grant so that we could go and hear from rural communities across America.
Yes.
And to hear from Hispanic communities and to hear from Asian communities and to hear from kind of younger generations or older generations. That research at the time was possible because of my network of colleagues at other academic institutions who also do research in the community, and they were able to find individuals who would come into a focus group for us, right? Some of them were former students and postdocs. One of them, I know, was a guest on the Bridge podcast not that long ago.
Yep.
But what I'd like to think is that when we, quote, go national, that if we needed to go into another community, whether that's a community of individuals with impairments or some disability, whether it's a particular disease state, that we wouldn't always need to rely on somebody else, that we would grow our network. And so these communities would be connected with the patients program. And just like we've demonstrated our ability to work with individuals in Baltimore and get people to participate in research and share meaningful information and help to improve what we know works to improve health in America, I'd like to think that the patients program is now going to have that bigger impact by going into new communities. And those are just new communities, just like the communities we've been working in, but they're not the same ones. They're different.
Yes, as engagement specialists, our team is tasked with going into communities and introducing ourselves to the community and sharing information about participating in research, understanding how that, you know, if you have the education, if you have the tools that you need to share your opinion in a safe setting, you can make change not only for yourself, but for your community, for your neighborhood, and for folks that are coming, you know, behind you. So in my 7 years here at the Patients Program, I can honestly say that things have changed. I'm excited about the change that we are about to, endure going forward. And as a team, it's interesting because, you know, when you talk about going national and you're talking about putting in a language that folks can understand, that is something that is a bit challenging, but it's exciting because the interest is still there from the community that I'm talking about. They still want to hear, learn a little bit more. So I'm excited about that.
Well, and let's talk about what we've seen in some of our own research, right?
Okay.
Sometimes we see in our own research that there are inclusion and exclusion criteria that are set up in advance, right? And so, for instance, it may be that the inclusion criteria includes certain zip codes that maybe are here in West Baltimore. And there may be an exclusion that if a person is under a certain age or over a certain age, that they're, quote, not eligible to participate in research. Now, when you have people who want to participate because they hear that you're looking into something that's important to them, maybe it's a medical condition that one of their family members has, it's got to be kind of hard for someone like yourself to say, oh, I'm sorry, you don't qualify for this because you don't live in the right zip code, right? Now, I do understand in research that sometimes we need to have these inclusion and exclusion criteria, but I know in my own work that one of our patient partners said to me once that she agreed to be into this study, but they told her that she, quote, didn't meet these inclusion and exclusion criteria. And she said, I felt like they were telling me I wasn't good enough to be in research. And I thought, that's a really negative message to send to someone who wants to help, right? I'm sorry, you don't qualify, you're not eligible. So what I see is by going from a local and regional program to a national program with national impact, we aren't going to be in every state. We aren't going to be in every rural area. We aren't going to be in every city. But I don't want people to feel that if they're wanting to be in research, that they're not, quote, good enough or they're just not eligible on that consistent basis. And so this is our chance to really expand the communities that we invite to be in our research. And again, just like the communities, you know, here in West Baltimore, some of the people will want to participate and some won't want to participate. But at least if somebody wants to participate, that we don't say, I'm sorry, we're only working in these local communities.
Correct. I think those conversations are needed. We've had experience in having them here locally, and they've been something that I've learned from in my role here in engagement specialists. And I'm pretty sure as we continue to stretch our wings, so to speak, and go into these different communities, we'll be able to have those conversations confidently. Dr. Mullins, we've had the support of the Baltimore area. We've had the support of the university since I've been here and even before then. And it's exciting and humbling sometimes when we hear or you hear our name as a team in rooms that we're not in. Just the other day, you were having a conversation about how the patients program is, you know, again, being spoken of or spoken about in rooms that we aren't in. And that goes to the level of support that we've had. Let's talk a little bit about the support that we've had or we are having for this Going National initiative when it comes to our sponsorship. How important is that to you to have the support not only of Baltimore City, you know, your colleagues, but also folks who believe in what we do here at the Patients Program?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is that, you know, we don't do anything big without our steering committee approving it.
Correct.
And for those who maybe aren't familiar with how we make decisions, we have a steering committee. And if they vote on something and the vote is no, we won't do it because of our commitment to the community. This steering committee, by design, has to have more people from outside UMB. These are community leaders. Typically, in our history, those were all community leaders right here in Baltimore. We now have started increasing and having some individuals who are community leaders, but don't necessarily live here in Baltimore. And yet our steering committee, most of them are still community leaders here in Baltimore. We also do have a couple faculty on the steering committee. But again, the faculty are always fewer in number than the community leaders. And the reason for that is so that the steering committee community leaders could vote something down, and then the patients program here at University of Maryland Baltimore will not pursue that. if the vote goes no, right? Well, this vote went yes, unanimously.
It did.
Because
it
our did. Community leaders have been on this journey with us, and they're kind of like my mom. They don't want to keep their recipe a secret. They want to share their recipe of successful community academic partnership for research. And one of them, who is, for me personally, the oldest in terms of time working together, the oldest partner that we've been working with, and her name is Aurelia Laird.
Yep.
She and I have been working together for more than 20 years. And she's excited, and she expressed her enthusiasm about this. And so when I hear from people like Aurelia that they're excited about this, then I know we're doing the right thing, because those of us who are from Baltimore, who have been with this program since before we even called ourselves the Patients Program, they see the impact we've had, and they want to share that with other communities around this country.
Dr. Bonas, that is great to hear. And we just saw Aurelia. I haven't seen her in a while, and I just saw her this past weekend, and our conversation was fantastic. Again, you're right. She is excited about the Patients Program taking these efforts nationally, but she's also excited about taking us internationally. She's from Panama, and I said, well, if we go to Panama, you got to include me in that flight as well, because I'm pretty sure I'd love to share what we're doing, not only nationally, but internationally.
Well, yes. And I mean, Aurelia is not the only one who has said, well, why aren't you going international? And so let's talk about that too.
Okay.
You know that we don't just rush into things.
Right.
Make sure we know what we're doing. And so this concept of growing our national impact is something that we're all confident that we can do. And we're confident that we can do it in 2025. I believe that we will get the confidence once we've done that to go international. And I think many people believe that we can do that. But you and I both know that the way healthcare is delivered is very different outside the U.S. than inside the U.S. And that has not been our focus. I know when you played ball, you traveled around the world and you saw the differences in healthcare delivery. And I think before we take something like that on, we want to focus first on having a national impact. And then if we do decide to go beyond having a national impact, that we'd want to make sure that we're not rushing into something that we don't have the skills and the confidence to be able to pull off.
That's a good point, Dr. Mullins. And, you know, when we talk about not rushing into projects or rushing into initiatives, I appreciate that a whole lot because, you know, when we're dealing with the community here in Baltimore, when I first started, rushing or speeding or going fast or not listening to questions or not listening to concerns was something that, you know, wouldn't get you anywhere here in the community in Baltimore. So I've had experience in taking things slow, making sure our community members understand exactly what they're doing, exactly what they're getting into, having conversations with even the researchers as well, knowing that they have timelines, they have deadlines, but, you know, we have a way of doing things here. For example, going back to the recipe part, right?
Right.
You put the ingredients in there, you know, you got to make sure the ingredients are there. Sometimes they want you to kind of let it sit. Right. You got to put it on, you know, preheat the oven and you got to take it out and let it rest. So there's a process to that. And I am so excited about this going national process when it comes to recipes, because this is something good here. The Pictures Program, it's a good project.
You know, you made me think of something else going back to that recipe. One of the things that I saw, and it was a little bit before the COVID-19 pandemic, but really blossomed then, is the number of other researchers who suddenly claimed that they knew how to do health equity research or research to advance health in all populations in the United States. And to me, that's like just taking whatever's in the cabinet and throwing it into a pot and keeping your fingers crossed. Now, there's been points in all of our lives when sometimes that's what you got to do because you only have certain things in your cabinet and you got to go with what you have.
I was a college student. I know what you're talking about.
Hey, but when it comes to asking people to volunteer for research, I don't think we want to have that kind of approach. I think we want to make sure that we've talked with our community partners. We've talked about what we're trying to make. And then we get their advice on how do you think we should make this before we start throwing everything into a pot and calling it research, right? And I think that's the thing that we've always benefited from is before we move forward, we make sure that we talk with people who have lived experiences that are relevant to the research question that we're trying to answer.
Yes.
That they have either confirmed that it's an important research question and we move forward, or they said they don't think it's important. And then why would we ask people to participate in something that's not important? And then if it's important, then we ask them, okay, help us figure out how to do this research so that people who could benefit would want to participate. Help us know how, when we finish our research, we can communicate it so that people who can benefit will not only hear what we found, but be able to interpret it and use it to make a decision with their doctors, with their pharmacists, with their other healthcare providers. And so that idea of not rushing in is something that we've known since the beginning of our program, and it has served us well and will continue to serve us well as we go national. I would be remiss if I left without saying that the other group that really has helped us, though, of course, are our financial sponsors, and truly appreciate this. These are companies that believe in what we do. They have supported us in the past. They came back to help us go here. So we're talking about people like Deepa Lalla at AstraZeneca. We're talking about people like Annalise LaRose at Bayer. We're talking about people like Chris Blanchett at Novo Nordisk. And those three companies, Novo Nordisk, Bayer, and AstraZeneca, have given us additional financial support because they see that if we bridge to the national impact level, that we're going to be able to help more people. And as a result of that, more people across the entire country are going to be healthy because of the research that we do. So thank you to those three companies. Thank you to you, Rodney, for the invitation to come and talk about the Going National Initiative. And I hope that next summer, when we've made it there, that you invite me back so we can talk about exactly what it looks like once we get there.
That's a guarantee. You got that. No problem at all. Dr. Mullis, I've been with the Patients Program for 7 years, and I've had an awesome experience here, I should say, particularly being a community engagement specialist, because I'm out and about in the community, and I hear from different communities their opinions and beliefs about research. And I remember hearing a story when you first started the Patients Program about you literally going to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, participating in the health fair, getting your hands dirty, so to speak, as far as helping out, helping cleaning up. If you had an opportunity to talk to that Dr. Mullins after you left that health fair at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, what would you say to him right now?
Well, anytime you go into a new community, there's a little fear. You're not sure if you're going to be welcome. And I probably would tell my younger self, and I would tell other people who really want to do research to improve the health of every American, people can see your heart. And if you're really in a community to make that community healthier, then you're going to be welcome there. And I was tested. I know that there were people there who thought I was just there, you know, to get a survey filled out or to get a blood draw or to get all the things that happen in research. So I know that there were some people like that. But I was there and I knew I was going to stay there. And if you have that determination that you are really interested in partnering, not just a one-time research project, but really partnering, don't be afraid. And that it may take a while for our community to warm up to you, but if you're sincere, that community will welcome you. And I've seen that time and time again in the work that I've done. And that's why I'm excited about going into new communities, is I know I need to earn their trust. I know the entire patients program staff, we need to earn their trust. But we've done that in a couple of communities already. And so we know how to do that. And that's what I would tell my young self. That's what I would tell our staff. And that's what I tell people around the country who are doing this type of research. Don't be afraid to go into a new community. Just make sure you're going there for the right reasons.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And your hard work isn't going unnoticed. Thank you for joining us on The Bridge.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge. Your health, your voice. To learn more about the Patients Program, visit our website at www.patients.umaryland.edu.